Well, good morning. I wrote that down on my notes so I wouldn't forget. So meeting here with you today, of course, I'm used to meeting in the afternoon, and I've had some conversations with some of you here before about how weird that is for you to meet in the morning. And I know that your response to me was how weird it is for us to meet in the afternoon. So you kind of get used to it, and there's a routine. So yes, Mr. Rust, I do get goosebumps every time I come up here. But I'd like to say hello to everybody. I'd like to welcome all those that are on the internet. Hello. Hello for you, those that what this means. And it is a pleasure to be here. And I was reminded earlier that it's been a year since I've been here. So hard to believe that it's been that long. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here today. Well, a while back, I did some research on the internet, and I was just going through reading some articles. And I came across an article about a butterfly metamorphosis. And the article was written by Alyssa Cristani, and it's called The Life Cycle of a Butterfly. And of course, my love for animals, I had to read a little bit more into this. And I think what we're going to find today in this message is it's going to tie in very well with what I'm going to speak about today. The butterfly goes through four stages of their development. And I'm going to go through these four stages with you today, and I want you to kind of keep this in your mind as we move through the message. Each stage is different, and each stage has a goal that the butterfly goes through. Now, a butterfly going through its process of becoming an adult is called a metamorphosis. Again, that's a key word for us to remember for today. And the life cycle process for a butterfly can take a month, or it could take up to a year, depending on the type of butterfly. Now, the first stage of a butterfly is the egg. Every butterfly starts off as a small, round egg. And the female butterfly lays their eggs on a leaf, and after a few days, a tiny little worm-like creature comes out of the egg. The second stage is where it becomes a caterpillar. And the caterpillar then is sometimes called a larvae. And it's a very small worm-like creature. Now, they don't stay small for long. In fact, they grow so much that they shed their skin. Now, I'm going to pause here for a second because I have a confession to make. I also go through that shedding process myself. Sure, some of you do as well. But as we get older, we change. As the butterfly gets older, it changes too. It grows. It has to shed its skin. And it could do this up to four times in this process. And that's called molting. And then the third stage is the resting stage. This is called the pupa. This is where the caterpillar is done growing, and it starts to turn into the butterfly. And this does not take very long for it to happen. And then the fourth stage, it finally becomes a butterfly. When the pupa opens, the beautiful butterfly comes out. Now, it's interesting to note that the butterflies can't fly very well at first when they come out of their pupa. But with a lot of practice, they become pros, and they're beautiful, beautiful animals. And you know, there's over 17,000 species of butterflies around the world. It's a long way from being a small, round egg. Now, many of you know my love for animals. I know Dr. Burkle has mentioned his love. I know he mentioned, I think it's Windy Lindy, right? That was the bird. All right, I have Hank the hummingbird, and his female companion is Harriet. So I know it's weird, but I do love animals very much. But, you know, while the story of the butterfly is kind of a cute story, again, it does tie into our message today because this is the type of transformation that we're going to learn about today that we need to go through in order to be a part of God's family. So if you like a title for my message today, if you're taking notes, it's simply Transform and Renew Your Mind. Transform and Renew Your Mind. And what we're going to do today is we're going to break down Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, specifically verse 2, and we're going to learn about the right transformation and how we can renew our minds. So let's go over then to Romans 12 to begin our journey. This is where I was inspired to give this message. And you know, I've probably read Romans 12 a couple hundred times, but every time I read it, it seems like I get something new out of it every time. Romans 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, we could stop there and talk about that all day long, but this is what we're supposed to be doing. And he says we're supposed to present ourselves a living sacrifice, something that our lives are going to represent, a way of life and how we're supposed to do things in God's eyes. And he says that we're supposed to be holy then, just as God is holy. He says, and again, continuing on in verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So the first thing that we're going to talk about here today is in verse 2 is that we're not to be conformed to this world. That word conformed means to be fashioned alike, or to be in union, or to have companionship or resemblance of. We're supposed to look different and supposed to be different. Hold your place here. We're going to come back to Romans 12 a few times. But let's go over to 1 John chapter 2. Let's go to 1 John 2. And let's see what God has to say a little bit more about this, about being different. 1 John 2:15. He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. Period. That's what it says in my Bible. There's a period there. Don't love it. Now, we're talking about the lifestyle of this world, the things that are of this world, of course. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and this is what's in the world today, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And you know, these three things have been going on since the beginning of time, before even time, back when Satan rebelled and Satan thought he wanted to be like God. Goes back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve thought that they knew more than what God did and they wanted to be just like him. And then us today, as we live our life, the same three things are going on today. He says, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. God's will, not ours. And everything that we see here in this life today, everything physical that we see, brethren, is going to go away. So what are we holding on to? Why do we want to be like this world? What does this world have to offer us today? Christ's last words to the Father were about us. And he said that he prayed to the Father that we should not be taken out of the world, but that we should be kept from evil. So we're here. We have to live this life. But we don't have to be a part of this world and what it has to do and going along with its traditions. And I'm sure there was an easier plan of salvation out there that God could have came up with. However, it's that total sacrifice and total commitment that he needs from each one of us in order for us to develop our character, which is the one thing that God doesn't create in us. He helps us, but that's something that we have to do on our own. Let's go back to Romans 12 then. Go back to Romans 12. And let's read on here what else we're supposed to do. He says, but be you transformed then by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind, being transformed. Now, the word transformed in the dictionary means to change in a form or appearance or character. Or, you know what else that word means? Metamorphosis. A change. Like the butterfly that went from that little round egg to a beautiful, colorful, flying butterfly. That also means to change in condition or nature or character or to change into another substance. We're supposed to look different than what we started out at the beginning. A synonym for the word transformed means to alter, convert, reconstruct, or renew. And the opposite of the word transformed means to hold, keep, maintain, remain, leave alone, or stagnate. Now, I think when I hear the word stagnant, I think of a pool of water. You know, a pool of water that's been sitting there for a really long time. You know what happens when water sits stagnant for a while? It stinks. It starts to build bacteria. It's no good. It's stagnant. There needs to be constant movement and change. And that change comes from within, and it comes from us being converted and going through that conversion process, just like the metamorphosis of the butterfly. Now, this word transformed is used in two other places in the New Testament. And we're going to look at both of these here in a minute. But the Greek word that's used here in verse 2 is metamorphoso, and it's number 3339. 3339, and it means, again, to transform, change, or again, metamorphosis. So like the butterfly, then, we need to be transformed or changed. And it's interesting to note that that word, transformed, is a verb, which means it requires action, which means it's something that we have to do. We have to change who we are. Now, change, I know, if you're anything like me, I love it. I know, I'm being sarcastic, right? I eat the same thing for lunch every day. I have the same routine that I go through, right? Change. We don't like to change. That's just our nature and who we are. But God requires that from each one of us in order to be in his family. Again, this Greek word transformed is found in one other place as it was in Romans 12. So let's go and look what that word is over in Matthew 17. Because we're going to look at this. This is an interesting word because it means two different things. So the first word transform means to change, which we're going to see here in Matthew 17. And this is the good transformation, just like it was in Romans 12. Matthew 17, verse 1. He says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took James, Peter, and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured," or metamorphosis, or transformed, "before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light." Now, although Christ was already perfect, he was showing his disciples what his perfect, glorified state looked like. And that had to have been something to see. But he was completely changed. Everything about Christ at that point was different. And brethren, that's the type of transformation that we need to have in our lives. We need to be changing to be something completely different. Again, Christ set that perfect example for us. There was no leaven found in him. And we too need to be continually examining ourselves to get that leaven out of our lives, to have that perfect nature of Jesus Christ. And like the butterfly, we cannot stay in that larvae state. We have to continue to grow and shed our old habits and shed our old skin to become different. Now, I told you there was another place that this word transformed was used. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 11, and let's see where else this word is used. But this is a different word. This word is actually 3345, and honestly, I'm not even going to pronounce it because I don't want to butcher the Greek language. But if you have a concordance at home, it's 3345. And this word means to transfigure or disguise, figuratively by accommodation. So unlike the other Greek word, there is no real change here. Transformation then is only done as a way to look or act like something else. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, 13. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves," or the NIV says masquerading, Or as we read in the Greek, that 3:3-4:5, which is to transfigure or disguise themselves as into apostles of Christ. And don't marvel this, because Satan himself is transformed, or the NIV says masquerading, or pretending, or transfiguring, or disguising themselves into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers are also transformed into ministers of righteousness, and whose end will be according to their works. They're going to reap what they sow. Transformation, brethren, takes total commitment. Total commitment. And in order for the butterfly to go through what it does, it must go through all four stages. And there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. In order to be transformed from this world, we must not be masking or arrayed ourselves around as Christians. It's like de-leavening 99% of your house or only getting a little pregnant. It doesn't count. See, with God, it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. And he expects our full commitment to make these changes. Again, we're either going to change and become like Jesus Christ, or we're going to disguise ourselves and merely go through the motions. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. And God is pulling for us to make those right choices, as he says in Deuteronomy, where he says, I set before you life and death. He says, choose life. I want you to make the right choice. I want you to make the right transformation in your lives. So now that we know more about how we are to be different from this world, and that we're to be transformed like the butterfly, how do we do it? How do we go about doing this? Well, let's go back to the beginning where we were in Romans 12. Let's go back to one more time. Let's recap a little, and then we're going to talk more about how. Romans 12, 1. Again, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be like this world. Remember, we're to be different. Remember, if we have friendship with this world, God says it's enmity against him. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So how are we to be transformed? The answer is given here in verse 2. By renewing our mind. Renewing our mind. That word renew means renovation or reversal, or new, as especially in freshness. Now, you already know my love. I've given up some secrets about my love for animals. I'll give you some more insight to my life. That I work from home, and a lot of times if I'm working from home, I get to sit around, I get to watch a little bit of television when I'm eating lunch. And what I love to watch more than anything when I sit at home at lunchtime is Flip or Flop, or Fixer Upper, or House Hunter Renovations, right? I just love watching these shows. And what they're about are about people who go in and they don't, maybe can't afford big houses or fancy houses, so they buy lesser expensive ones and they go in there and they fix them up. Oh, they do a great job. They're beautiful. I mean, some of the work that these guys do is unbelievable. But I have to give you a word of caution. That just because I'm talking about this today does not qualify me to come over to your house and do any renovation whatsoever. Zero. My son has a business. Call him. He's really good at it. And I know this because that birdhouse that I built when I was 10 years old was condemned by the city because the birds complained about it. So please, don't call me to renovate your house. It's not going to work. But just out of curiosity, has anybody here gone through a renovation in their home? A few of you. All right. Me too. About 11 years ago. And I made the biggest mistake that anybody could ever make. I actually lived in the house while we were renovating it. Don't do that. For you watching at home, don't do that. It's not good. Get out. Stay out for the 5 or 6 weeks or however long it takes, because it's a mess. Right? Walls come down. Carpet comes up. The electricity has to go out. the plumbing. You know, you're washing your dishes in the, you know, in the bathtub. I mean, it's a mess. But if you want to make it new, you got to get rid of the old. And that's what we're dealing with in our lives. That's what this whole walk is about. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing in our lives today. We are going through a transformation and renewing ourselves to be something different. And we need a lot of help with this because we can't do this by ourselves. So let's go over to John 14. Let's see what kind of help we're given. I wish I was better at that. I wish I was better at renovating. Unfortunately, my wife does most of the stuff. If there's a little handiwork to do, she knows that I, you know, if you need something tore apart or messed up, call me. I can do that really good. John 14, verse 16. See what kind of help we're given. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that it may abide with you forever. And I will not leave you comfortless," in verse 18. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. These things I have spoken to you, yet being present with you." And verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things, and it will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have told you." Now that word comforter in the Greek is parakletos. And you know what that word means? One who goes alongside to help. We have help. God gives us his Spirit. He knows that we can't do this by ourselves. Again, we're not capable of doing it on our own. God says in Isaiah, his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. And you know, for the last 6,000 years, haven't we proven that point to be true? True change takes the help of God's Spirit. And once we have God's Spirit, we need to do something with it. Let's go over to Romans 6. As we go through this journey and this renovation process and renewing our mind, let's see what we need to be doing. Romans 6 and verse 3 and 4. By the way, while I have a second here, I just want to say I love what you guys did to the stage and to the place. It's been a while since I've been here. You did a really good job, so thank you. Romans 6, verse 3. He says, "Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death." You know, I always used to say when I was younger, I would never live to be 40 years old. For some reason, I had that in my mind that I would never live to see 40. And my lifestyle wasn't very good. But you know what? That was true. Because I didn't. Because I was baptized when I was 40. So technically, that's true. But we have to be dead. We have to stay in that baptismal pool. That old self needs to stay there. But Christ says, and so it continues on here. It says here in verse 4, it says that, Unlike Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of his Father, even so we should walk then in newness of life. So how do we renew our mind? We walk in newness of life. And that word walk means to tread all around, especially as proof of ability. Proof of ability. We need to live like we have a renovated life. Sure, we can talk a good talk, but we have to prove it. There's a lot of people out there that know the Bible better than us. There's a lot of preachers that you can go on television and see. You see it all every Sunday. Are they living it? Are we living it? Just because we sit here in this seat doesn't mean we're saved. We have to do something with what he gives to us. We have to walk in that newness of life. And you know what? That newness is the same word used in Romans 12, is that renovation or reversal. The renewing of our mind starts with using God's Spirit to change who we once were and to become what he wants us to be. So now that we are to live our life and be occupied with this renovation and this life with Jesus Christ, we then have to use his Spirit. We have to use the tools that he gives to us And what are those tools? Prayer, Bible study, meditation, fasting. I know it's old school. I know we heard it probably a million times. But I know I fail on this a lot. And there's times where I go, wow, it's the Day of Atonement. We have to fast. And then as time goes on, you know, how often then do we continue to go down that road and get closer to God and use that wonderful tool that He gives to us? You know, if we're doing it right, people will notice. People will see a change. I think back to the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, when they're standing there and everybody's bowed down, and I could picture a whole crowd of thousands of people. You see everybody, they go down and there's three bodies standing up. They stuck out like sore thumbs. Do we stick out like sore thumbs in our lives? You know, if we're doing it right, people will see that change. They're going to see what we're doing in our life. Because once we take out the old material and we start that renovation process, brethren, we can never put back the old materials again. We have to keep it new. We have to keep it fresh. Let's go to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. Let's see more about this path that we need to take in our life. Proverbs 4:14. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. He says, avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. You know, you can read this and you can hear the urgency in his voice pleading with us to go a different direction. We need to avoid those lifestyles, avoid the wicked ways of the world. Again, not conformed to this world, but be renewed by transforming your minds. Continuing on here in verse 18, he says, but, there's a contrast to this, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter to the perfect day. You know their song, there's two paths that you can go on, right? One is lighted and one is dark. One goes towards God's kingdom and one doesn't. Which one do you want to go on? I want to stay on that lighted path. Because it says here that the way of the wicked in verse 19 is like darkness, and they don't know what makes them stumble. Now my wife, I love her to death. I'm sorry she couldn't be here today. She wasn't feeling well. But she likes to move things around in the house. Right? And I appreciate that, honey. I really do. And I, sometimes if I get up in the middle of the night and I forgot that she moved something and I stub my toe or I hit my knee, it hurts, right? My fault because I didn't turn the light on. But that's how we are, right? If we're going to walk in darkness, we're going to run into a lot of bad things. And God says his way is like a lamp to our feet. His word is like a lamp to our feet. There's a lighted path that we can take. So now that we have God's Spirit and we know what direction to go into, let's go further then on renewing our minds and see a little bit more about this process. Let's go back to Ephesians 4. That goes back to the change that I love so much. She does keep me on my toes, though. Ephesians 4, verse 17. I want to read this from the Good News Translation because I think this brings it out a little clearer. But it says, in the Lord's name, then I warn you, do not continue to live like the heathen whose thoughts are worthless and whose minds are in the dark. There's that darkness again. That's that dark path again. And it says, they have no part in the life that God gives, for they are completely ignorant and stubborn. You know, it's what happens when I don't surrender over to God and I don't give myself over completely to Him, I'm a stubborn man. And I like to do things my way. And my way does not work. It doesn't work. Verse 20, that was not what you learned about Christ. He says, so get rid of your old self, or put off, as it says in the King James Version. So how do we renew our minds? We renew our minds by putting off the way that we were before we were called, before God invited us into his family, before he gave us a spirit to give us the power to change, put off that which made you used to live to, the old self that was being destroyed in his deceitful desires. Verse 23, your hearts and your minds must be made completely new. Or the King James Version says, renewed, or that reversal, or that renovation. See how this all ties together? Like that butterfly going through that metamorphosis and that change? He says, we need to do this in the spirit of your mind, and you must then put on the new man. So how do we renew our minds? We put on the new. We put away the old, we put on the new, which is created in God's likeness and reveals itself in the true life that is upright and holy. It's spiritually focused. It's based on the light. It's doing things his way, doing things his will, not ours. Again, this requires us to completely surrender our lives. That old house needs to be completely different. You know, when these shows, when I watch them, and the people were fortunate, they're smarter than me, where they actually left the house and they come back like 6 or 8 weeks later, they're shocked when they walk in the front door. They're shocked. They can't believe it. The wall that was there before is gone. You know, that kitchen is now big and beautiful. Again, that's the process that we have to do. This old house, this tabernacle, this tent that we live in these human bodies needs to change. And the ultimate goal of this walk is to have the mind of Christ. For our last scripture then, let's go over to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, because we need to bring every thought into captivity. Again, reflecting that fruit of Jesus, that fruit of the Spirit, that fruit that God gives us as a blessing of being a part of his way of life. Philippians 2:3. He says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. And I'm sorry, but I fail miserably at that. That's something I'm working on. That's that part of that renovation in my life. He says, let each of you not only look out for his own interests, but the interests of others. He says in verse 5, but let this mind, which mind? The mind that is selfless, the mind that thinks of others, that renovated mind, the one that is focused on God the Father, Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the stake. Again, brethren, being transformed takes total commitment. And it starts by surrendering our lives to God, to come out of this world, to use His Spirit to change, and to renovate the way we think. And you know what? Like the butterfly, it's a lifetime process that we all have to go through. We don't just wake up flying like butterflies. It's a process. And you know, sometimes it's a painful one. So in conclusion, recap what we learned. We learned that we must not be conformed to this world. We need to be different, committing our lives completely and totally to God. We learned that we need to be transformed, not disguising ourselves or pretending to be Christians, but to be completely or totally changed and going through that metamorphosis process. And lastly, renewing our minds, with a renovation that we have to have that mentality that out with the old and in with the new, and putting on the things that God wants us to with his gifts of his Spirit, and putting off the old nature and the old self. And how do we do this? We do this with the help of God's Spirit. We do this by walking in newness of life. We do this by putting on the new man. We do this by putting off the old self. And we do this by having the mind of Jesus Christ. This transformation, brethren, again, takes place on the inside. And sure, it takes a lot of work. And yes, we are going to look different. But in the end, God wants us all to be transformed into beautiful butterflies into his family. Thank you, and happy Sabbath.